Daily Observation Podcast. I'm Brian Chaffin, and today is Wednesday, September 3rd, 2014. And with me is Dave Hamilton.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me, man.
Of course. And also John Martellaro.
Ahoy.
We are filling in for Jeff today, who is off on a super secret assignment looking at things we can't talk about yet.
That's then that's a bad thing to have as the first topic for the show, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, darn it. Oh, drats. Everybody knows now. Nonetheless, I thought we'd talk about Apple and new rumors about credit card deals and such. John, after we recorded yesterday's Daily Observation show, you put up an editorial on that, and I thought you could talk to us about your thoughts.
Well, I started thinking about how, in my experience, Apple does things for its own sake to break down barriers and to help it do business. And often Apple's confronted by issues like that. And when it can bring technology to bear and has built up over the years an infrastructure and worked so hard on iTunes and credit card payments and iTunes and 800 million or so Apple IDs. It occurred to me that this was not just a make some money. Let's just cash in on this and we'll take a piece of the action. I see it as a more fundamental approach to sort of helping the gears of commerce in a way that Apple can bring to bear. Because when Apple gives you a presentation on how they manage their security, and it's usually pretty awesome, and they give you a presentation on how easy it is to make that transparent to the user. In other words, they give a presentation on the encryption and the technology behind the scenes, and you're overwhelmed by, you know, all the pieces and parts that Apple has in place. And then they show you the front end of the GUI, how simple it is. There's that aha moment where you say, ah, yeah, we may have understood the technology, but we could have never built, you know, something as cool as this for the customer. So
hold on a second, though. Does Apple really have any kind of moral or intellectual high ground when it comes to security at this particular moment?
You know, I kind of sense that they do. I mean, it's been an enduring theme. It was a theme when I was there. It's sort of a built-in thing to their Apple's DNA. You know, some companies say, oh, yeah, we've got security, but it's usually icing on the cake. For Apple, it's just a mentality. It's something that Apple just does because they believe it's going to help their business.
Wait.
And help them sell things.
What?
Wait a minute. All right. I can't keep quiet about this. So Apple has, I think it's important to make a distinction between trustworthiness and security. Right. Because I would say that most people, and I count myself among them, but I believe most people would agree with me that Apple is one of the more trustworthy technology companies out there. And I think a lot of people would say that Google is one of the less trustworthy companies.
When it comes to intent.
When it comes, and that's where trustworthiness is. And that's a great way to qualify that, Brian. Right. Yeah. It's in their intentions are sound, but their abilities to be secure are different. Do not necessarily always match their intentions. In fact,
yeah, I think we've had a little bit of a little kerfuffle in the last couple of days.
Yeah. And we should get to that, but I would actually say that Google, I feel like if I had to rank companies on security, I kind of feel like Google, it does better with security than Apple does.
right. It's like an inverse.
But it's an inverse thing.
You guys are looking at the surface kinds of things, like, you know, how long it takes them to put their updates into Safari.
Sure. And yeah.
Response to the Black Hat conference like that. I'm thinking about what I know about the behind the scenes people.
And which is the intent, right?
Well, it's also the infrastructure, the security that they put into their devices, the secure enclave, the hardware encryption in the phone, the attention to detail and making sure that.
Well, those are actually good points.
That's true.
Secure enclave is actually a great example of Apple seemingly, at least so far, doing things right.
Yeah, well, that's the intent, right? I mean, it and
but that's execution too.
It is
in that regard.
It is. That's true.
I was reading an article the other day about how there are these mysterious cell towers that have been identified in the United States, and they've cropped up near military bases. And the article was trying to figure out, you know, the source of these cell towers, and they were phantoms that were faking that they were legitimate cell towers, and they were actually trying to break into the baseband of your phone. And the company that was building a secure Android phone had found 408 security problems that allowed this Android phone to be broken into by the cell towers and the baseband infected. They didn't find that with the iPhone. So,
and another feather in Apple's cap has to be encryption with iMessage. That's something that Apple has apparently also done right.
And what you're saying, Brian, is folds back into the theme that I had in the article, and that was that for Apple, security is a fundamental and important part of their business model in this society, in this culture, in order to make people have confidence in their products.
It's true. You know, as we're having this conversation, I keep sort of, you know, clarifying and crystallizing my thoughts on it. And to say that Apple is less secure than Google is the wrong way to convey. And I realize that's what I said, but it's the wrong way to convey this point. It's more that, you know, all these examples of Apple getting security right are when they come to market with something, iMessage being one, right? Brand new thing. They get to write the book on that, right? They can design it any way they want. And they don't have any real existing baggage to inherit, right? And they don't have to re-engineer security for something that already exists. iMessage, they just decided, here's how we're going to do this, and they did it their way, and it's great. And the same with the Secure Enclave in the iPhone, and lots of other things. And you're right, because security is a fundamental tenet of what they think and believe there, these things happen that way. Where there's a problem is in Apple's ability and way of handling security issues after the fact. They are much slower to implement some new bit of security for something that already exists once somebody identifies a problem, right? And that's where some of that, that's where a lot of their issue comes from. I mean, you know, we've got this current thing with iCloud Photos. But you know, the response to the stuff at Black Hat conferences, those things, they're much slower at releasing anything there than say Google, than Google is.
Brian, one of the themes that Apple presented to the customers in the past was security is built in, not bolted on. And we remember all those times when Windows XP was hacked, and then Microsoft would quickly come out with a patch.
Yeah.
And the patch usually introduced new problems because it was so rushed. And so there's a balance there in trying to figure out what you need to do to fix your infrastructure, the fundamentals, and not just patch something on that's going to create new problems.
Yeah, but they haven't done all that well with that. I'm not convinced. I think there will take the appropriate path, and therefore we will walk it slowly and deliberately and get it right when we finally do it. That works great for a lot of things.
Yeah.
That doesn't work when there is a known exploit or known hole that now needs to be dealt with quickly.
Immediately and with great vigor.
Yeah. And I realize we've sort of detoured into what you had planned as our second topic here, Brian, from this first one, but it's interesting how they sort of dovetail together. But before we get to the second one, with credit cards, I trust Apple with my data more than I trust Google with my data.
Absolutely. Even though I do think Google is better at security overall, as we originally said.
Yeah.
I know it's complex.
It's complex. It's hard. Complex. I know I said that early. I I have trouble backing that statement up. They're better at different aspects of it than Apple.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah,
fair enough. I'm gonna have to back that up. So we have very, very related. We've got Apple trying to get out in front of the media firestorm that has been associated with the celebrity photo hack that happened over the weekend. And yesterday, Apple released a media alert, which is different than the statement. The statement tends to go to individual sites, but sometimes multiple sites, but you know, a statement is sent to journalists, and a media alert is something that Apple actually publishes, which is what the company did on Tuesday. And you know, they have a media event coming up next Tuesday.
That's true.
And Apple does not want people talking about the photo stuff. The Apple wants people talking about what Apple is going to announce on the 9th.
Yeah, and it's actually funny. As we were trying to pick the second topic for this show, those were the two things we were deciding between. Should we talk about what's happening on Tuesday, or should we talk about this thing that happened, the media alert yesterday? And we chose the one from yesterday. That's telling. This is not the story Apple wants us to be talking about today. And understandably
no,
so.
It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. From their perspective.
Sure. Sure.
And it must be frustrating for Apple, too, to work so hard at trying to straighten things out and figure out what the cause of the problem was. And then I was watching Jimmy Fallon last night, and for the sake of comedy and for effect, he just took the entire wrong technical take on it and started making fun of iCloud as an insecure place to put your photos. Wow. I mean, that must have really been frustrating.
Well, why is that wrong, though?
Yeah.
It's not wrong. It's just part of the culture and the media. I mean, we've seen it every day.
You called it the wrong approach.
Well, what I was trying to say is that it must be frustrating for Apple to work so hard at trying to get to the bottom of it and then put out the public statement, you know, and then for the sake of comedy, you know, of course.
But here's the thing.
Jimmy Fallon makes fun of everybody at their expense for the sake of comedy.
Sure.
So it's also there.
Yeah, but Jimmy wasn't wrong. I didn't see Jimmy, but what you're explaining to me, it doesn't sound incorrect at all.
Yeah, he took the entire wrong take. He took the idea that your photos are insecure in iCloud, and iCloud is riddled with security issues. You shouldn't use it.
Well,
that was the take he had for comedy.
But is that wrong?
But then he makes fun of Kim Kardashian too, in the wrong way.
That's not the point. That's not the point. How is he wrong to say those things?
Well, it is wrong from a technical standpoint. It is right from a comedy and entertainment standpoint.
But I want to talk about the technical standpoint, because here I'm going to back up. I'm going to back him up. He said that iCloud is insecure, and you have to basically, and I'm interpreting your interpretation of it, but you basically have to assume that anything that you put on iCloud is susceptible to being compromised.
That's my recollection.
Okay.
Is a monologue.
I think that's correct, because iCloud is protected by, you know, your email address and password. Those are the only two pieces of information somebody needs to get in and access that data. And obviously, if your password is a simple to guess password, and let's face it, we have to type our iCloud passwords all the time, right? It's, you know, we have to type them to buy apps. We have to type them to buy music. We have to type them constantly. So to have to make an assumption, as some people did correctly, that celebrities who use their phones all the time, who probably buy apps all the time, would keep their password something that is easy to remember.
That's an interesting take.
Is not incorrect. And so, and you know, Apple has two-factor authentication, but as we mentioned yesterday.
It doesn't emphasize that.
What's that?
It doesn't emphasize that two-factor authentication. It doesn't default to the two-factor authentication, and it should.
It doesn't use it.
Well, that's the whole idea behind the fingerprint thing, potentially, right? You won't enter a password only. A password will be for emergencies. When you want to make that credit card purchase at Macy's, you'll just use your fingerprint.
But iCloud Photos is not protected by two-factor authentication.
And also, going back to our earlier conversation, there's the fact that find my iPhone, whether or not it was involved in a, at this point, it appears not to be the case.
Yeah.
Whether or not it was involved in this particular photo theft, the fact that I that Find My iPhone was susceptible to brute force attacks, one of the oldest. I mean, you know, this is war games. This is Matthew Broderick level stuff here.
Yeah.
Right. The fact that it was subject to that kind of attack until this weekend is awful. And that, I think, is one of the reasons why Jimmy Fallon wasn't necessarily wrong. And I read a piece on Slate really dinging iCloud on, well, on, you know, security.
Yeah, Apple rolled out two-factor authentication a long time ago and said everybody should use it. But it only protects your financial data, right? That's it. They, you know, Google rolled it out too a long time ago, and it protects your email, it protects your calendar, you know, they've got OAuth on everything. Now, there are some email clients that don't work, mail being one of them, that don't work with Google's two factors. So Google has a workaround. You can set up an application specific password, which is a very long randomized string that you don't get to pick. And then in theory, you don't save it either in any place where you would have to type it. You just put it into your email client and forget about it. And that is more secure than coming up with a password of test 123. But I don't think this is wrong. You know, it's ironic. I don't anticipate that anyone tried to hack me. But on Friday, Thursday. This is a weird story, but I'll tell it anyway because it's sort of timely.
And this is going to be our last story.
Okay, on Thursday. I was shaving the back of my neck, right? And as one does. And I didn't have a second mirror with me in the bathroom. So I wanted to make sure I got everything. And so I took a photo of the back of my neck. Now, I was naked in the bathroom and I was in front of a mirror when I did this. So my picture happened to have full frontal nudity of me in this picture. It was sort of off and blurry because I was taking a picture of my neck, not anything else. But as soon as I took the picture and said, oh, I missed this one spot, and then I took another picture. Okay, I'm good. I deleted those from PhotoStream. I thought, I don't want these on PhotoStream. I have no need to save this picture anyway, but I certainly don't need it being populated to every one of my devices and floating out there. And this was on Thursday afternoon. So, you know, I mean, it was sort of timely and sort of funny, but no one talks about the fact that this stuff is always out there. I think about it because it's how I think. But until this weekend, I don't think a lot of people thought about it that way. And hopefully now people do. And it adds some personal responsibility.
3 months from now.
Yeah.
Three months from now, they won't.
Maybe.
All right. We are out of time, though.
We are
out of time. So, Dave, thank you for joining me.
My pleasure.
John, thank you for joining me.
Pleasure here as well.